Well, I'd like to talk today about the concept of the fear of the Lord. It's a very common and critical virtue that's especially given to us in the Old Testament. It's mentioned over and over again, especially in what we call the wisdom books of the Bible. The fear of the Lord. We heard it in the psalm today, right? He said, blessed are those who fear the Lord, who walk in his ways. And we heard today regarding the beautiful wife, the wonderful wife who is, of all of her virtues, though, charm is deceptive and beauty is vain, but the woman who fears the Lord is to be praised. So to fear the Lord, to fear the Lord. Now, in English, when we hear the word fear, we generally just have negative associations with this word. And yet, in the Old Testament, it's proclaimed as a great, great virtue for us to have a holy, a reverential fear of the Lord. So let's make some distinctions about what is meant by this term and what it doesn't mean, or at least what it ideally should not fully mean. First of all, let's talk about a distinction between what we might call servile fear and holy fear. Servile, you might hear the word servant in this word. It's the fear of someone who's more afraid of being punished. Rather than, you know, the biggest thing is that, you know, when you have servile fear, what motivates you particularly is, I better do what I'm told because otherwise I might get punished. Now, for example, most of us would have this kind of fear when it comes, say, to the speed limit or running a red light, or we behave ourselves not just because we're so virtuous, but because we'd rather not get the ticket or the picture taken of our beautiful license plate. Anyone got a little greetings in the mail occasionally, huh? All right. And so again, it's the fear of punishment that really motivates us more than I really care about safety, or I think that I better follow lawful authority because I respect their laws, and it's more, I don't want to get a ticket. So we call this servile fear. It has to do with being punished, and the real motivation there is I don't want to get punished. Now, then this is distinguished from what we would call holy fear, the fear of the Lord. How to describe the fear of the Lord? Well, the fear of the Lord is to hold God in awe, to have a sense of love and reverence and awe for God. God is so awesome. He's so magnificent, beautiful, holy, and I love him. And I really, whatever God wants, I want that too. And whatever God wants to think about something, I want to think that too. And so the holy fear of the Lord is a little bit like, remember when you ever belonged to, when you were a kid, to a fan club? There was some star or something, and you belonged to their fan club, and you wanted to know everything about that star. What are they wearing? What do they think about this issue or that issue? You know, what's on their mind? What's important to them? I want to be like them and imitate them. And so again, we ought to be more than a fan of God, though, amen? But we ought to have, again, God, you're awesome, you're holy, you're good, you've given me everything I have, you're the great provider, you're the one who has brought me into existence, you love me, you're awesome, you're holy, you've done all things well, and whatever you want, Lord, I'm excited about that. Whatever you, I want to think what you think. I want to love what you love. I want to wear what you're wearing, which is holiness, right? Okay, you see the vision? So holy fear, holy reverence has an element of great desire, attraction, a sense of awe and wonder. And if there is a fear, it is the fear of offending or in some way being out of favor with someone who I hold in awe and love and reverence and need. So you see how different that is than just punishment. He might punish me, so I better behave myself. And so for all of us then, we have probably a little bit of both in us. But think about this. When you were a child, a little child especially, your parents probably had to motivate you more often than not by what we would call servile fear. They'd have to threaten to punish you. If you don't do what I tell you, I'm going to swat your behind, or I'm going to put you in your room for 3 hours, or you'll lose your allowance, or you're going to turn in your cell phone, all right? But the point is that you use punishment to motivate. But ideally, as your kids get older, you can help them to grow in love for you and for their brothers and sisters and neighbors and others, and begin to reason with them out of a sense of their love for you and for their neighbors. And so out of that love, they now will do the right thing, not just because they're afraid of getting punished if they don't, but because they know it's right, and they want to do what's right out of love and respect. So you see the idea. We want to, ideally, as we grow as children into adulthood, we are moving out of simply being motivated by fear of punishment into a sense of reverence for what is right. Now then, in the spiritual life, it's the same. That is to say that we probably need a little fear of punishment. And by the way, Jesus uses this a lot, doesn't he? In parables like this, you know, we see that he says, you know, you'll either obey me and my laws, or you're going to go to hell. you're going to get a whooping. And so he does use this, what we might call fear of punishment. This is something that Jesus makes use of, because God's got a lot of children, y'all, and not all of us are grown up. And some of us need a little servile fear. Now, God will use servile fear, but brothers and sisters, the goal is that he should not have to. But in the meantime, if all you got is servile fear, go for it, all right? You want to say that, look, there's going to be some times when I don't always understand or want to be told what to do, or I don't want to hear even any of the reasons, but it's enough for me to know that if I do this, I could go to hell for it. If that's all you got, go for it. But I hope that you and I are on a spiritual journey where we're not simply seeing that as our motivation, that we're, because we love God and we hold him in wonder and awe, that we want to hear from him and that we want to know what he teaches and that we're excited to hear it, and then increasingly we want to think as he thinks, and whatever he loves, we start to love, and whatever he wants, we start to want, and whoever he loves, we start to love. Are you praying with me? That's the goal. We want to get into that place with God. Not all of us, though, have the same level of spiritual maturity. So again, we are all going to have a little bit of that servile fear, but we want to move deeper and deeper into just a pure love of God, that whatever God wants, I want it. And if God doesn't want it, I don't want it. Now then, that leads us to this parable. We talked a little bit about, because we see it in the mention in the opening readings, this idea of entering into and coming to the fear of the Lord, again, which is the gift from God that helps me to hold God in awe and in wonder and to reverence him and to be excited and to want to please him and think and act and be just like he is. That's the goal. Now we come to this gospel and we see three servants. And two of them exemplify the holy fear of God, and one of them, servile fear. And we start to see the danger of servile fear, or fear of punishment, and what it can do to our hearts if we don't grow out of it and into something richer. So notice, I don't have to repeat the whole parable to you. I think I read it effectively. Did I not read it in English? I didn't make a mistake and read it in Greek, did I? Okay. Now, three of them. Now, again, one, you might wonder, if one of them receives five talents, one receives two, and one receives one. You know, you can interpret this negatively. God's unfair. He gives some people more than others. Well, maybe. But maybe you could take it the other way. God is not going to put more on you than you can handle. Are you praying with me? If God gives you five talents, man, that might mess with your mind, right? You might not be ready for five. Maybe all you can take is two. So you see the idea. God will not put more on us than we're able to deal with. But he gives each of them this different amount. Now, two of them, again, you just using the parameters of the parable, see the master here. Remember, the master is God, but they see the master as someone who's a reasonable man, a man who gives them this sum of money, and he expects them to do something with it, but they feel like they have a freedom. They feel like it's okay to take a risk, that if something doesn't go well, he's a reasonable man, and I can talk with him, and I can work with him, and I want it to go well, and he wants it to go well, so let's work together. I'm excited. I'm joyful. He gave me this opportunity, and I want to please him. So they go to work, and you know the story. They invest and they do whatever they do with it, and they earn five more, two more, and they're excited and they're joyful and they feel like they've got room to maneuver and room to breathe, and so they're alive and they have this reverence for the master. He gave me this sum and of money and wants me to do well with it, and I want to do well with it. And so our interests are overlapping here, and so they're excited and joyful and they reap a harvest. And when the master returns, they're excited to go greet him and render an account. Lord, I've done well. Now, and if there were any things that didn't go well, he's a reasonable man, and I can work with him, and he'll work with me. Okay. But the third one, notice how he thinks of the master. Because in his rendering, he says, you're a hard man. You're a demanding man. You're unjust. You're unkind. You're setting me up for failure. You harvest where you didn't plant. You know, and he makes all these accusations. I was afraid of you. He said, out of fear, the wrong kind of fear now, I went and I buried this thing so I wouldn't lose a bit of it. Here it is back. Whew. What an attitude, huh? But again, now how does he have this anger? Well, let me ask you a question. Have you ever been in a relationship with someone when you didn't have any reverence for them, or they didn't have it for you, and all you were afraid of was that they would punish you? You know, if you got out of line, you'd get punished. If you didn't do something right, maybe it was someone at work, a supervisor, maybe it was a parent, but someone you were in a relationship with, and the only thing that really was on the table for you is, I better do right or I'm going to get punished. Now, is that a person that you like? Is that a person that you're happy to be around? No, what do? You avoid them. You avoid them and you just try to stay out of their way and stay out of trouble and you keep them at a distance. Are you praying with me? Now you see what can happen to us if we don't make some spiritual progress in our life, how we start to see God. Instead of God being the gracious one who gives us everything we have, and yes, will one day ask us to render an account, but he's good to us, and we love him, and we want what he wants, and we're excited to be in his presence and to receive things from him so that we can use them and joyfully grow. But if you're not in that, you're in this, all those commandments. God's laying a snare. He's trying to take away my fun. He's trying to limit what I can do. I don't like to be told what to do, and if he exists and he might punish me, but frankly, I'm just fed up. I don't like the idea of wanting that he might punish me, and I'm starting to get angry and avoidant, and I don't want to hear it anymore, and they stop coming to church lest they hear a sermon. Oh, there's another thing I got to do. And if I don't do it, I'll get punished. I've had it up to here. Enough with all that. And they bury whatever they have, and they ignore it. And they get on with their own agenda. I will not be told what to do. I will not hear something from God because I don't want to hear it. Because all he's going to do is whoop my butt if I don't do the right thing. And they start to get avoidant and angry. Now, I'm up here kind of playing the role, you see. Father, you're quite the actor up there. The pulpit's literally shaking up here. Now, I'm exaggerating maybe a little to make the point that you can get into that kind of a stance with God. And maybe when you're very young in the faith, having a little servile fear is an important motivator to bring you to the table. You know, I'm going to have to render an account to God one day. Maybe I better find out who he is and get to know him and try to get on his good side. Maybe that'll motivate you to begin. And if that's all you got halfway through your life, three quarters of the way through your life, people start to get angry, they start to get avoidant, they stop praying, they start setting things aside. It's a very deadly thing. And that's why the Lord says, look, you come to me. Would you please remember how much I love you and what I've done for you? The first thing that you should lay your eyes on when you come into the church is that crucifix and the presence of the Lord in the tabernacle. And he's here waiting for you, and he loves you, and he keeps calling. And eventually to begin to let that love of God just grow in your heart. And you start to become thrilled and amazed at the creation that God has done, the beautiful world about us. And you start to hear the great deeds of the Lord, and you start to ponder how many good things he's done for you in life. And even in your life when the negative things, somehow they turned and they work for your good as well. And you start to fall in love with God, and you're excited and joyful, and you're moving out of servile fear of punishment and into holy reverence, the fear of the Lord that we call holding him in wonder and awe and gratitude and joy, and you want what he wants, and that's the journey. And if you don't make it, you start to see how awful it can get. And so we turn now to the second reading, where St. Paul gives us an interesting description of the last day or the last judgment. He says, you're either going to experience the Lord as a thief or not. See, if you love God and you realize that everything you have is really his, and he's been so good to you to share some of it with you, and you live your life that way, the day will not catch you off guard like a thief. But if you go on thinking, hey, it's all mine, stop trying to take away my fun, God, stop all your rules, I will not be told what to do, stop it, leave me alone, and if you give me something, I'm just going to bury it. If you go on like that, the Lord is coming like a thief, and he's going to take what you call your own. It's not your own. And so here's what Paul again says. He says, look, he says, be careful. You know that the day of the Lord will come like a thief at the night, like a thief in the night for all those who are saying, hey, peace and security, everything's great. And that day will catch them off guard. They will not be ready. And they will experience the Lord as if he were a thief. He is not a thief, but that's how they'll experience him. He says, but you, brothers and sisters, did you hear that? You who are growing in the holy fear of the Lord, for you, my brothers and sisters, that day should not overtake you like a thief, because you're not in the darkness. You're in the light. And you're thrilled to work with God. And you know that everything you call your own is really his. And you're joyful that he gave you some share in his magnificent bounty so that you could go to work and bear fruit in this world. For you, it is indeed going to be a great and a beautiful day for Judgment Day. And so we sang today in the first song, oh, in that great getting up morning, fare you well. Fare you well. Oh, fare you well, poor sinner. Fare you well. In other words, may it go well for you on that day. And how will it go well for us? The whole law is summed up in this. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, and your neighbor as yourself. The holy fear of the Lord, the fear of the Lord is to hold God in wonder and in awe because you love him and you know he loves you. You want what he wants. To have that great motivation in your life. So you see, therefore, that we have to ask every day for the great love of God. Say, Lord, increase your love in my heart. Help me to love you. You know, the Holy Spirit is dwelling in you like a temple. On the day of your baptism, the Holy Spirit came to dwell in you as in a temple. And the Holy Spirit wants to do a couple of things for you and for me. He wants to, first of all, bring us up to the temperature of glory, like a fire in our heart, increasingly with the warmth of God's holiness in us. And he brings us up to the temperature of glory. But he also wants to kindle in us a deep, affectionate love for God. I don't know if you noticed, but Jesus, who has the Holy Spirit in all of its fullness, he was crazy about his father. Did you notice that? He's always talking about his father. He loved his father. St. Paul said, you have not received a spirit of slavery to fall back into fear, but a spirit of adoption that cries out, Abba, Abba, which is the family word for God. Father, Father, you see. It's that beautiful experience of God, a real affection for God as your loving father. Ask for this, brothers and sisters. Pray for it. It's the real key. If all you have is the fear of punishment, go for it, if that's all you got. But there's a danger in simply holding on to that as a motivation. And the danger is anger and avoidance. Ask the Holy Spirit, help me to love the Father with all my heart. Help me to love him so that I hold him in wonder and in awe. And I'm grateful for what he's given to me and what he's done for me. And then everything will go well on the day of judgment. And even if there's some final corrections and I need some final purgation, I'll know that's part of God's love for me. He won't come like a thief. He'll come as my Savior to give me the reward for which I've longed. So ask the Holy Spirit, help me to have a holy fear of God, which is to say that I have a love for Him filled with wonder and awe and gratitude. That, my brothers and sisters, is what Scripture means when it says the beginning of all wisdom is the fear of the Lord. A song comes to mind, and a couple of them, of course, but the one we often sing here, I really love the Lord. You don't know what He's done for me. He's given me the victory. I really, really love the Lord. Or another song, the beautiful song that was made so famous by Whitney Houston, but written by Richard Smallwood. It just says, I love the Lord. He heard my cry, and He pitied every groan. And long as I live and troubles rise, I'll hasten to His throne. I'll run to Him. I'll hasten to His throne, because He's someone I love, not someone I'm trying to avoid. He's someone that I can go to, even in my worst sinful moments, and say, Daddy God, I love You. I've fallen again, but I know You love me and help me. Long as I live and troubles rise, I'll hasten to His throne. May you and I have the great gift of the holy fear of God. Amen.